so my name is Tim Jones, and I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust and behalf of the One Another Project in Trafalgar Square, London. It's the 30th of August, 2009, and the time is 5:15 in the morning. Can I ask you to tell me your name, your age, and where you come from?
My name's Adam Lapardo. I'm 38, and I've come down from Newcastle upon Tyne.
Okay, thank you. When was it you first found out about the One Another Project?
Not long after it started, it all kind of came out because work involved in the arts in Newcastle, so it's one of those things. And being in Newcastle, obviously with Anthony Gormley, there's a lot going. So when anything that Anthony does, it kind of tends to spread around quite quickly. So quite early on, I can't remember the exact date or anything like that though, but quite early on.
And what was it that motivated you to put your name forward to be a part of it?
I've been asked that quite a lot, and I honestly don't know. That's a bit of a rubbish answer, but it seemed like an interesting opportunity. I didn't necessarily have a plan. I mean, I'm not an artist. I didn't have a plan to do anything amazing. It just seemed like an opportunity to do something that, you know, only, whatever it is, 2,000 people are going to be able to do, other than drunken revelers on New Year's Eve or whatever, climbing up. So it just seemed like an opportunity, and you know, just the idea that this kind of idea of living sculpture kind of interests me and intrigues me, although it's not something I'm, you know, have a desire kind of to follow through too much, but being involved in it as part of a bigger project just seemed intriguing.
And what is it you're going to do when you're up there?
To be honest, not a lot. I got lots of suggestions. Everyone seemed to decide that I should either go naked or dress up as the Angel of the North, which I don't know if that's a Newcastle thing, because obviously with Angel of the North being in Gateshead. So I don't know. I thought between 6 and 7 the sun would come up, and I just thought it would be great to experience that and the people. So really I'm just going to wander around. My kids are coming to see me and wave at them and talk to them. And I've got friends, you know, a couple of friends around the world to keep in contact through them via Twitter and Facebook and that kind of thing when I'm on the plinth, if my battery lasts, and just see what happens, really. I'll just kind of give it, rather than trying to plan anything.
And you said you work in the arts. Can you tell us a bit about kind of what you do for a living?
I run an organisation that works trying to develop relationships between business and the arts. So trying to get money from business and support and ideas, and also working with arts organisations to help them develop ideas and understand how they can work with business and kind of develop and broker those partnerships.
And how did you get into that?
How did I get into it? I kind of fell into it, really. I've worked in kind of theatre or the arts for a long time in various different ways. And when I was looking to move to Newcastle, my wife's from Newcastle, having a baby, wanted to move back to her hometown. And this job came up, and I was keen to get. I was working kind of commercial arts and wanted to kind of get out of that, or commercial entertainment, wanted to get out of that, and wanted to do something good and help. And this job came up. It was one of those things where you're just looking for a job. You open the paper. There's the job you want in the city you want, at the time you want to move. So it's just one of those things. It was just kind of interesting to be able to use my kind of experience in the arts, but my experience in kind of commercial area to kind of bring the two together, so I can kind of sit there as someone who's worked in the arts and tried to get money and worked in business and had all the begging letters for money. So it's kind of an interesting way to kind of put those two parts of my experience together.
And who would you say you're going on the plinth for?
Oh, definitely me, but not in a kind of look at me kind of way. Just in that, I just think it's that experience. I'm, you know, if it kind of helps, you know, Anthony Gormley's project, if it helps, you know, Artichoke, if it helps all those kind of people, great. But actually, it's just for the experience, just to see what it's like, really, and be involved in something that's kind of interesting and intriguing. So quite selfish, I think.
And what expectations do you have?
I don't know. I'm guessing whatever it's going to be, it's going to be completely different to what I think it's going to be. I mean, the previous plinth was just saying she didn't realise how high it was, and I haven't really thought about that, and I'm guessing I don't have vertigo, but I might suddenly develop it within the first 5 minutes. So I don't know, really. I think I'm just going to wait and see, and, you know, I think it'll change depending on who's there outside. If the sun does come up, you know, what the sun's going to be like, how the square's going to change, how people change. When my daughters arrive, what they're going to wonder why Daddy's standing, you know, 20 feet in the air or however high up it is. So I don't know. Hopefully it'll change and it'll be an interesting hour. I'm guessing it'll be quite quick. Got a couple of people who I know who've been on, and they said it went really, really quickly. So I don't know. It's kind of a nice thing to have done.
And what does that Trafalgar Square and London and the plinth, what all these things mean to you?
I don't know. I mean, I used to work in Leicester Square. I worked in Leicester Square for 3 or 4 years. So Trafalgar Square seems to me as one end of it is I used to walk through it when I went to go to and from work. As a kid, it always used to be that kind of exciting place, Nelson's Column, National Gallery, that kind of thing. You know, it's where you came on school trips. So then when I kind of moved to it was kind of interesting. And now it's almost got that kind of tourist thing back again, having kind of moved away and coming back. So I don't know. I mean, interesting because from my business, from my work point of view, the idea that, you know, the reason there's an empty plinth is because through, you know, the public subscription didn't hold up to actually finish it. So with my kind of day hat on, it's kind of interesting to kind of think, oh, actually, you know, these opportunities have come up as a result of people not giving money. So actually, you know, interesting artistic things can happen actually when there isn't any money. And I think that's quite a nice thing. And the fact that, you know, there are, what, 2,000 odd people giving up their time, some people thinking up fantastic, amazing things and doing it for free. And, you know, that's an interesting thing where I spend, like I say, spend most of my time trying to get resources into the arts. Actually, very often, actually, the lack of resources sometimes comes up with, makes people come up with quite interesting opportunities. So, yeah, kind of that. That's kind of what makes, I think, kind of interesting, and, you know, the history of it as well. So it's a kind of a day thing and a night, you know, interesting for me with kind of my, you know, out of work brain, but also my work brain. So.
And why the arts? Why kind of did you get into the arts? What kind of importance and significance does the arts hold? You mentioned you kind of worked in business, but you wanted to kind of help.
Yeah.
Get into more subsidised.
I don't know. I mean. I got involved in working in theatre when I was kind of 12 or 13, because the school I went to had a theatre, so it's right. So I kind of got to try acting, decided I didn't like that, got to do lighting and sound and working with theatres and stage management. And it was just one of those things that I can't really describe it. I was trying to explain to someone a couple of weeks ago that going into a theatre, for example, which is where I've had a lot of my experience, just the smell of the theatre, you know, most, a lot of theatres, that kind of smell of the scenery and the, you know, the paint, and I can walk into, you know, be transported back to when I was at a certain point, you know, when I was 12. And it's just that experience. It is that thing about experiencing kind of interaction and watching live performance, I think, is whatever it might be, or interacting with something that, you know, you can be very personal, but you can be part of an audience as well, I think, is just, and you can make of it what you want. What's quite interesting around kind of visual arts is the fact that there's lots of people who are willing to say what the visual art is about, but actually it's what it means to you is the important, for me, is the important thing. And I think so, the fact that it can be a kind of global view, but also an individual view, I think it's quite interesting. And it's about that experience and getting involved and trying things out and seeing things, you know. So.
And how about in your spare time? What are your other interests and hobbies?
I've got two kids, so most of my stuff revolves around going swimming or going to the park. Or it's quite interesting, you know, in the last kind of 5 years, having kids, how much your life completely changes. And also because working in, doing what I do, you know, kind of evenings and things, I tend to be working quite a lot of units, going to events, going to openings, going to theatre shows or whatever. So in a way, it's quite interesting that whereas in my spare time previously, I would have gone to galleries and I would have gone to theatres and things like that, because it's now work, it's, you know, actually doing some very mundane things in my spare time is kind of actually quite interesting. but engaging with my kids and seeing them and then getting them excited and taking them to galleries, but seeing it through their eyes and asking them what they think and seeing her, well, the 5-year-old, the 18-year-old can't speak, but, you know, kind of getting them to see what they do and, you know, and how they engage with it and kind of seeing things in a new way, really, I suppose. So, yeah, but I kind of, you know, very interested in music, buy a lot of CDs still, try and go to see gigs and things as well, which is, not, you know, don't do a lot of that in my day job, so that's kind of a nice interlude, still engaging with culture, but some area that I'm not working on. So yeah, listening to music, kind of writing some music, writing a book, which I've been writing for ever and a day. Like lots of people are writing books, but they never actually quite finish. So one of the things I was thinking about was trying to think about some, jotting down some ideas while I'm on the plinth. In that kind of, I've got an hour of free time, but I'm guessing it's not going to be that simple after all. So.
How was the book
about? Oh, it's about an individual who is very insular and kind of isn't very good at relationships, and is trying to. And there's someone else comes in and kind of makes him reevaluate relationships and how you perceive them and what's important, and it kind of changes his views. And but I haven't quite got an ending yet, so I've got it mapped out and I've written about half it, but I'm the world's worst editor, which is the problem. As I sit down to write the next bit, I go over what I've already written and then edit it, and then all of a sudden the kind of hour I set aside is gone because I've been editing rather than writing. So it's taking a long time to go through, and again, having kids, it's kind of difficult to stop and write. And it's interesting, it's made me change some of the elements as well, having kids, and made me think differently about relationships, I suppose, as well. So it's kind of interesting.
I'm sure you've said it before, but what would you say the most important things to you are at the moment in your life?
I think my children, probably, which is a kind of bit of a stock answer in a way, but yeah, I think my kids. I think enjoying life, trying to be happy, not worrying about things that are going on, you know, credit crunch, all those kind of things that's in the papers every day, but yeah, just kind of enjoying my life and enjoying my kids and watching them, you know, as they grow up and realizing that, you know, there's elements of their lives that are now gone, as it were, because, you know, they're growing up and, you know, having two kind of three years apart, it's kind of interesting to be reliving through my youngest one what I'd forgotten my oldest one had done. So kind of, yeah, trying to seize the moment, I think, really.
And what hopes and fears do you have for the future?
Blimey. Oh, I have no, oh dear. I don't know. Again, things like what's going to happen, you know, as my kids grow up, what's going to happen for them, what, you know, without wanting to kind of sound too like I'm on a soapbox, you know, is the world going to be, you know, boiling hot, you know, is there going to be war, is that, you know, all those kind of things. I think it's quite interesting how reevaluating my life through, you know, through kids and that kind of responsibility and that understanding. And so I think, yeah, I think my fears are around my kids. I'm not really worried about anything that might happen to me in a way. It's more just about them and them being safe and secure and normal and happy and all those things that you kind of, I suppose, you want anyone, any parent would want for their child. So yeah, I think that's the thing. My fears are that anything bad might happen to them, I suppose. Whatever that might be it from terrorism or global warming or just, you know, having a crap boyfriend. That kind of thing.
And how does it feel to be one of 2,400 people that get to experience the plinth?
Really exciting, actually. I mean, 2,000 is quite a lot. It's quite a lot of people in a way, but equally, that's, it's only 2,000 in a country of, what have they announced yesterday, 61 million people. So yeah, I think it's quite, there's a lot of us, but there's a few of us. That kind of sounds odd. So I think it's kind of exciting. It's nice to be chosen. Obviously, very surprised. I mean, I don't know. The one thing I thought about when I signed up was I kind of signed up just assuming I wouldn't get picked, as I'm sure most people probably did. And I think, kind of opening that email and thinking, who's this for? What's that one? Another thing almost. Oh God, I'm on the plinth. Okay, right. Okay. So yeah, it's nice, exciting. There is this kind of, I don't know. It'd be interesting to see what happens afterwards in a way, and what happens, you know, once the project is finished and what comes out. I mean, I know there's a, you know, all the book and things like that, but it'd be interesting to see if there's how people, what people's, if there are any kind of links or relationships made, or, you know, obviously, you know, been chatting to people who are going up before me, and just chat to the person who's been on before them, and people coming after me and that kind of thing. So it'd be interesting to see if anyone kind of keeps in touch. I'm sure it's quite difficult to, but just if there's any way as the process goes on and over the coming, whatever it is, 6 months, years, or whatever it is, whether people interact or kind of, you know, bumping into people saying, oh, I was on the plinth, oh, so was I, and kind of just swapping stories. So yeah, it's quite, it's nice to be of a small select group.
And how are you feeling just before you go up? What's the journey been from applying in the first place, finding out you've been selected, preparing, and now being here?
It's been really easy going. It's been really funny. I think everyone I've told has been more interested in it than I have. That's not kind of being blasé, but I haven't really thought about it until obviously last night when I really needed to get some sleep because I had to be here at 4:30 in the morning and couldn't sleep. I was thinking, oh, I think about all those things. You're thinking, I'm not planning on doing anything. Is that really rubbish? Is it, you know, is it going to look really crap? Or, you know, should I be doing something? But then I'm not the kind of person that would, you know, do some flower arranging or whatever the person is doing. You know, I'm not kind of showy. Should I have done something for charity? No, but I specifically didn't want to do that. You know, I don't know. There's those kind of concerns about, you know, if there's anyone foolish enough to be, you know, logging in at 6 o'clock in the morning to watch me, and am I going to bore the tits off the room? So yeah, other people have been very interested. The last 24 hours, I've been thinking about it a lot more. And I'm guessing in the next half an hour, 45 minutes, or whatever it is before I go, and I'm sure, start to think, oh God, how's it going to be? But everyone who comes off says it's been a fantastic experience, so I'm kind of just looking forward to see what happens. And it's only an hour. What's the worst that can happen? Other than a trip I fall off or anything, bounce off the net. So, yeah.
Great, thank you very much.
That's right, thank you.